You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, Connor Rogers joins us. You can see him all over Bleacher Report, covers all things NFL, and does a deep dive, of course, with the Jets and the Giants here in town. Connor, welcome in. How you doing?
Good, Anita. Always good to talk to you. How are you?
Great to talk to you as well. We're going to spend a lot of time talking Jets and Giants, but since we came in with the Carson Wentz news, this is extremely disappointing to me. I was all over Carson Wentz. I got money down on him to win Comeback Player of the Year. I love the Colts to win the division. I love them making some noise in the postseason as well. This was a rebound kind of situation for Carson Wentz because of the drama that he experienced in Philadelphia with the Eagles. Your thoughts and just how damaging this injury is, not only just for Carson Wentz, but for the Colts as well.
Yeah, it's huge. There's no doubt about that. And for a team that has, you know, big-time goals, big-time aspirations, they don't have the answer behind him on the roster. No matter what people think about Jacob Eason or day three pick this year, Sam Ehlinger, those guys were drafted late for a reason. It would be a big surprise if either of those guys can replicate, you know, even half of what Carson Wentz brings. And I know he struggled recently too, but you're right. This was the good fit. This was the right fit for him. A coach he's excelled under before, a place that they know how to run the ball as well as anyone in the NFL, and that ground attack has only gotten better in recent history. So, you know, this is huge. And if it is a Lisfranc, that those kind of injuries, I mean, for a quarterback, we'll see. But for skill players, when you hear Lisfranc, that can really affect your entire career, not a short timeline like 8 to 14 months, which isn't even short. That would be season-ending as well. So this is huge. It has huge implications. I think if the Colts get the news that a lot of people are expecting, that this is significant, right? This is going to bleed into the regular season or maybe cost him the regular season. You got to look outside. And you said Brett Hundley, yeah, they brought him in. They need a camp arm in there right now to have guys to take more reps. So that's probably what that signing has to do with. But if this is a significant injury, you're going to hear someone like Nick Foles come into the trade conversation. You're going to hear someone like Gardner Minshew down in Jacksonville that's been very, very vocal. He wants to start no matter the fact they took Trevor Lawrence number one overall, and that's not going to happen. Marcus Mariota, they're going to have to bring someone in at some point.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, you know, and looking at that division, listen, you've got the Jags, you've got the Texans in that division. Really, it's a two-man race with the Colts and the Tennessee Titans. And the Colts check all the boxes. Top five offensive line, solid defense, seventh easiest schedule. In fact, I was reading a report, Connor, where their season, the way that it plays out, because they're in a dome, the games that they have to travel to when it gets cold out in the winter are warm climate cities. So the coldest temperatures that they're going to play in the season is no more, should not be any more than 50 degrees. Like the stars align properly for them this season to really do extremely well. And so if it's not Carson Wentz, I think they need to be active and go after somebody like Marcus Mariota or even a Jimmy Garoppolo, if that's even possible. Because this, in my opinion, this is a year where the Colts need to really get after it because of how this division looks.
You couldn't be more right. You couldn't. There aren't a lot of cakewalks into the playoffs in the NFL. This is about as close as it gets. There's the extra playoff team now in the league. This is a cupcake division. The Texans might not win a game if they have to start Davis Mills every week. That's how bad things sound over there in Texans camp. And the Deshaun Watson situation is not going to have a resolution, I don't think, anytime real soon. So when you look at it, and like you said, Jacksonville, maybe some things going in the right direction, but I don't think they're going to come out of the gate firing for the playoffs this year. And Tennessee, listen, I like Ryan Tannehill. I love A.J. Brown. They got Julio Jones, who has to stay healthy. Derrick Henry's probably the best pure runner in all of football. But they have their holes as well, especially at cornerback on the defensive side of the ball. You are absolutely right. This is the Colts division for the taking this year, whether it's the schedule, whether it's the roster they built. Carson Wentz, all he had to do was be average this year, quite frankly, and they would have made the playoffs. So, yeah, they got to go out and get creative. I don't know if the Niners will be willing to send Jimmy G on his way out. I guess it depends what they see from Trey Lance in camp, taking those team two reps for the most part. But you're right, whether it's a Mariota who would easily be on the block, whether it's a Nick Foles, who's been kind of quietly vocal about places he won't go, so that would be an interesting dynamic as well. I think he would go there, but it's an interesting dynamic. yeah, they're going to have to get creative with this one, assuming we get some disappointing news soon on Wentz's future.
Connor Rogers joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. And again, you can see all his work on Bleacher Report. All right, let's go local and let's talk about the Jets. Zach Wilson finally gets his deal done. And had his first practice yesterday, although I heard no bueno. Did not look good. And listen, it's his first practice. Like I've been saying, dudes from BYU, subpar comp, it's going to take a hot second. It's probably going to take more than just a season. But with that being said, if you can, in a very quick, concise way, explain to us what the contract ordeal was and why it took so long to get him into camp.
Yeah, the concise version is this came down to, you know, bartering over two different things. The first being when his signing bonus will be paid, and because everything else is agreed, Anita. The $35 million of the contract, that's agreed upon. The Jets or Zach Wilson cannot move that. That's slotted money. The, what is it, $21 million signing bonus, same thing. So the only two things you really can work over is when the signing bonus is paid, and understandably these guys want it up front within 15 days, and Wilson ended up getting that. Number two, offset language. Essentially, the very short version is if they cut him at some point and a team signs him, can he make the money from both sides, or can the Jets recoup some money? And the Jets don't do deals without offset language, so they would not budge on that. So on Zach's side, they said, okay, well, if you're not going to budge on that, because Trevor Lawrence didn't have offset language in his deal, and he was taking one pick in front of me, then you got to pay off the signing bonus pretty much immediately. And apparently, a lot of rumors going around is the Jets did not want to pay the signing bonus, or they wanted to defer a lot of the money to 2022. And rightfully so, Zach Wilson's party said, no, you're going to pay out the signing bonus within 15 days if we're going to have this offset language in the deal. And this isn't a Joe Douglas thing, Anita. Joe Douglas, if Zach Wilson stinks and is a bust or whatever it is, Joe Douglas isn't going to be here to recoup that offset language money. That's how this goes. This is an ownership practice from the business side of the Jets organization that they had to have it that way. Same thing with the signing bonus. So the two sides, they missed a couple practices, finally met together. Zach gets his signing bonus within 15 days. The Jets get their offset language within the contract.
All right, so with that being said, I don't think I'm you know, a lot of talk has been made about, you know, him getting into camp so late and what does this mean for the Jets is, you know, trying to get ready for the season. I don't like, you know, I think the Jets are going to be lucky if they win six games. I've got them winning four, right? Like this is a growing year. This is a development year. I'm sure there's a few Jets fans out there that don't want to hear that. And if you disagree with me, by all means, I'd like to hear it and I'd like to know why. But what are your realistic expectations for the Jets this season, Connor?
It's a building year. There's no doubt about that. You got a first-time head coach in Robert Saleh. You got a first-time play caller on the offensive side of the ball in Mike LaFleur. You got a lot of young pieces that are playing starting reps for this team, starting with the most important position. And Robert Saleh will be the first to say it. He says it in every press conference when they ask him. The quarterback is the most important piece, and they got a very young one. He only missed, you know, two practices. Sam Darnold missed a couple practices over the same contract problems as well. This isn't anything really new with the Jets, no matter who's making the draft picks or coaching the team. This is an organizational situation. So, you know, I look at it, I'm with you. It's a building year. You're stepping in the right direction. Nobody should be expecting playoffs for this team. Do I think Robert Saleh's energy and a couple bounces go their way? They can win seven games? Absolutely. I think so. I mean, let's not forget, they got 17 games this year. So 7-10, would that shock me with the Jets with their schedule? And they face a very weak crop of quarterbacks this year, very weak, which to me is one of the biggest signs of a schedule and how teams can overachieve expectations. Like you said, you expect them to win, you know, 4 to 6 games. Well, can you get up above that number a little bit to 7? Yeah, you take advantage of some bad quarterback play. So I think the Jets will be much more watchable this year. I think you'll see flashes from a young offense, whether it's Zach Wilson, whether it's the left side of the offensive line, Elijah Vera Tucker and Mekhi Becton. Elijah Moore is going to have some big plays at wide receiver. They're going to run the ball a lot and throw off a play action. And I think the defense, while it's really strong up front, it's very weak on the back end at corner. It's going to be a building year for Robert Saleh and this group. But I think coming out of it, if the quarterback looks competent towards the end of the year, the defense looks organized and plays hard, and they win six to seven games that way, I think fans would be satisfied with that.
There's a great wager you can make on the Jets, and that is what's going to be their first win. What game, what team is going to be their first win? Carolina is +175. Atlanta's 11-1. Cincinnati is 14-1. The Texans are 60-1, and the Eagles are 80-1. I'm eyeing the Texans. I think that's going to be the first win for the Jets. Is 60, and you could get that at 60-1. What do you think their first win? What team? What game do you think the Jets' first win is going to be, Connor?
Ooh, it's an interesting one. You look at it. I mean, is Sam Darnold going to get better? Because if not, they can go down to Carolina and win that game. That Carolina team was nothing to really write home about last year with Teddy Bridgewater managing the games. If Sam Darnold does not take care of the football, I think they could steal one on the road. That wouldn't surprise me. You know, New England's going to be tough. That's not really realistic to expect. Going to Denver is really tough, but they have a quarterback problem, a significant quarterback problem there as well. Of course, Tennessee's tough. Going to Atlanta, you're right. It's, you know, it can get kind of dicey, but I really do think, Anita, that there is no reason. Now, camp injuries can change everything on both sides. That's why it's always so hard to answer these week one questions, but it's a fair one. I do think they can go down to Carolina and steal a win just because, no matter how bad Adam Gase was, I just saw nothing over the 3 years of Sam Darnold improving on his biggest warts, and that is taking care of the football down the stretch and making things happen in crunch time. And, you know, he's in the right place to get better at that, but that Carolina team was not very good last year. I'm not convinced they upgraded that quarterback. They're a run defense that can be taken advantage of. I think that game is going to be very, very close.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Interesting. So your money's rolling on Carolina. Jets win week one at plus 175. I love it. Connor, thank you so much for joining us. Always great to have you on the show, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, Anita. Thank you.
You got it.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.